From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a moment, music played in remembrance of TCU artist-in-residence Jose Fagale. First, though, a surge in traffic at Dallas Love Field. More than a million passengers came through in December, a 46.5% jump from the same month in 2013. Dallas City officials tallied effects of the Wright Amendment's elimination in October and the resulting stream of nonstop flights offered at Love Field. 2015 began with an expanded Southwest Airlines schedule from 118 daily departures to 153, and of course, Virgin Airlines is now on campus. In this week's Vital Signs, the World Health Organization lists glaucoma as the second leading cause of blindness in the world. It's estimated more than 2 million Americans have glaucoma, but only half know they do. No one's certain exactly what causes the damage to the optic nerve that results in glaucoma, but Dr. Roger Velasquez of Parkland Hospital told me there are certain risk factors to watch out for.
There's many studies on glaucoma, and there's risk factors that we as ophthalmologists look for when we see patients in our chair. One is aging. The other is African-American race, a really strong risk factor, especially if you have a family history of glaucoma. Somebody in your immediate family, your mom, your father, your brother, your sister, they have glaucoma, then you yourself are at risk for developing glaucoma.
Why does it strike African-Americans so hard in particular? Does
anyone We just don't know. And a lot of genetic studies are being done to try to link the disassociation and see if there is a genetic factor. But as many things in medicine, there's also demographic, socioeconomic things that we just don't really well understand, and those can influence the development of glaucoma.
It's also hard for the average person to even know that they might have glaucoma.
Correct.
The symptoms are hard to detect.
Yes, especially in the most common form, primary open angle glaucoma affects about 90% of all the glaucomas that we see. And when the patients that come to me usually are the patients that have those symptoms, and they're already in-stage glaucoma patients, meaning that they have severe damage to their optic nerves. Now, these patients would complain of blurring of their vision or dimming of their vision. And when you test them and test the peripheral vision, you notice that most of their peripheral vision is gone. Mm-hmm. So these patients don't really notice anything until it's very, very severe.
So there are no signs that would lead to early detections at this point?
Not necessarily, no. There's some forms of glaucoma that you would get a high eye pressure and then subsequent eye pain, or you would lose vision very acutely, but they make up that less than 10% that we typically don't usually see. It's usually rare.
So it's a disease we don't really know the cause of, and it's a disease we don't easily recognize. In fact, most people could have it and not know it for a long time.
Correct.
So how then do you treat it?
The main treatment that we do is to lower the eye pressure. And traditionally, the way we do it is using topical or eye drops, or we have lasers as well. But the topical formulations that we have work in different ways inside the eye. One way is to lower the production of the fluid inside the eye, called the aqueous humor. So we have drops that can lower the production of fluid, and we have drops that can also facilitate the outflow or getting the fluid outside of the eye.
Is this something that can be cured?
There is no known cure for the most common form, primary open angle glaucoma. In the majority of cases, we can slow the progression or even stop it in its tracks. Now, there are secondary forms that we can do certain treatments and fix the problem, but those are the rare cases.
So what then should a person do to prevent the possibility of glaucoma, if anything?
Most beneficial thing is if you have risk factors for glaucoma, say you're over 40 with a positive family history, the most prudent thing to do would be to go see an ophthalmologist or a glaucoma specialist to have that full exam to know how at risk you are, or even if you're at risk at all. Once we make the diagnosis, that's the best way to prevent you from, you know, losing sight from this disease.
Beyond that, for the average person, then what?
Regular eye exams after the age of 40. Usually at that point, patients are already starting to develop presbyopia, meaning they're starting to get nearsighted and they're losing their ability to see things up close. So usually at that time, that's the best time to start to get full eye exams.
Dr. Velasquez, thank you for being with me.
Thank you.
Dr. Roger Velasquez is an ophthalmologist at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. There's more information on glaucoma at keranews.org. Musicians and music lovers continue to mourn Brazilian-born pianist Jose Fagale, who committed suicide last month. He moved to Fort Worth 30 years ago after he won the Van Cliburn International Piano Competition. Figali was an artist in residence at TCU, and that's where Dwali Saikautau found a concert in his honor last night.
This is one of José Figali's favored pieces from German composer Robert Schumann. Award-winning pianist Adam Golka performed this and Johannes Brahms' fourth ballade to honor the man he calls his beloved teacher and best friend.
José was the most pivotal figure in my life. He really shaped so much of who I am as a person and as a musician.
Now 27, he was a student of Figali's from the age of 13 to 20, driving up every weekend from Houston to Fort Worth to study with Figali at TCU.
Every note I play, everything I express the instrument, every sound I make, somehow has something to do with him. He's such a deep part of who I am.
That's why Golka came down from New York, where he now lives and performs, to pay tribute to Figali, who was found dead in his Fort Worth home last month. Police ruled it a suicide.
I was one of the lucky people who got to hear him in a small room, you know, in it just for me, in my private lesson. I'm so sorry for all those people in the world who didn't get to hear that, because that was magic.
The auditorium at TCU School of Music was packed with admirers of Figali, including music lover Debbie Vernon, who met Figali while volunteering at a chamber music festival. She says the 1985 Cliburn Gold Medalist was full of life, but
to counter the electricity and the energy in our lives, we all have darker, quieter sides, and it is just tragic that side could overpower all that was wonderful about him and all of the gifts that he had to bring.
She says he was a joyous, voraciously curious individual who loved all things beautiful in life, and especially the arts.
All arts. It wasn't unusual for me to see him in the Kimball or the Modern Art Museum enjoying that, or out laughing with friends, having a glass of wine. He was just a joyous experience.
Throughout the remembrance, friends and colleagues described him as a man of rare gifts, a practical visionary, and a masterful teacher.
He was extremely funny and witty and very bright.
Greg Davis is a former board member of the Van Cliburn Foundation.
And would go from right brain to left brain.
Davis says many people didn't know that the internationally acclaimed pianist was also an expert in internet technologies and also a storm chaser.
He loved being in Texas because of the great weather we had, tornadoes and such. But he was just a complicated artist, multi-layered. And that infectious smile.
Days before his death, Figali was still talking to colleagues about upcoming projects, including a CD of his works for his 30th anniversary season. The concert closed with a video of José Figali performing. Dwahli Saikautau, KERA News, Fort Worth.
Temperatures should reach around 70 today. It's 39 degrees now in Dallas, 38 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.